This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. An actor might blow his lines this Sunday night on Rock, but that's part of the risk of doing a live broadcast, and this Sunday's episode will be live. My guest Charles Dutton is the star of Rock. It's a Fox comedy series about a working-class black family. Rock is a garbage collector. His wife is a nurse. Rock's cranky father and unemployed brother live in Rock's house.
Quality engineer. Foreman.
Am I dreaming, or are you actually reading the one ads?
Yep.
You're reading the one ads?
No, you're dreaming. Working a crossword puzzle. I need an 8-letter word for quality engineer.
Employed.
Looking at those want ads is a waste of time. All the jobs are there for white people.
What, Pop? You don't...
That's
you...
right. Here. Look at this one. Hotel seeks hands-on person with professional appearance and effective communication skills to handle customer relations.
Yeah, so it's an ad for a hotel manager.
If you're white, it is. If you're black, it's for a doorman.
Doesn't sound like a good career move, right?
Charles Dutton came to TV from the stage. He received Tony nominations for his performances in The Piano Lesson and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. He's also appeared in the film Q&A and is in the forthcoming Aliens 3. He co-stars with Denzel Washington in the new movie Mississippi Masala. Dutton is a graduate of Yale Drama School, but you could say his real alma mater is the Maryland State Penitentiary, where he spent 7.5 years. He was sent to prison in 1968 for manslaughter. A little later, we'll hear how Dutton discovered his gift for acting while he was behind bars. First, let's find out how he got to where he is right now. Rock was built around him, but he says he resisted the idea for about 2 years.
I didn't have any desire to do television at all. Stage is and was my first love. And I had a film career staring me right in the face at the time. So, after many discussions on about the style of the show, I just never imagined myself, or I didn't want to wind up doing a silly kind of sitcom. So basically, they made me an offer I couldn't refuse, and once the creative aspects of the show was agreed upon and a style of the show was agreed upon to my satisfaction, I... set the wheels in motion to do it. And things developed from there, you know.
Did you model the character of Rock on anyone who you know or knew?
No one in particular. This show germinated originally as to be the Black Honeymooners. And with me as the Gleason character and someone else as the Norton character. During many creative discussions, we decided at that time that we would find our own niche and do our own thing. And the character went from, the Gleason bus driver kind of thing to finding his own occupation. And we selected a garbage man. And it took shape from there, you know. The close cropped haircut that I use for the character.
Wait a minute, you have a shaved head, not a close-cropped haircut.
Well, right, you're right. Sometimes I let 2-3 days growth grow on it. Like last episode we taped, I had a little hair. But that wasn't necessarily a fixture for the character. That actually came from the movie Aliens 3 that I just completed before we shot the pilot episode of Rock. And so once I saw tape of the pilot, I had decided that I liked the look. Although this summer I can't wait to grow my hair back, but for the character, I like it.
And when I saw you in Mississippi Masala, it took me a second to recognize you because of the hair.
Yeah.
Now, I know you want the series to really ring true. I have to mention here that the writer, Stan Daniels, is white, and I wonder if you ever feel that there are things that don't ring true that you want to change because the writer is a white person writing about a black family.
Sure. No, I understand that. It's, Stan Daniels is white, and Stan doesn't write all the scripts. We have 3 black writers out of 7. We have a black full-time director. We have four black actors, and as far as I'm concerned, nothing goes past me without some kind of sanctioning, whether it's a script or a storyline or whatever. Now, the problem with that is, of course, you're going to have white writers who don't know one iota about a black family life. And sometimes I think that can be a fault of white television writers, you know, who may be writing for a series that's set in the East Coast, which they know nothing about, but yet they won't even venture into South Central Los Angeles in broad daylight just to drive by it or drive through it just to see and experience what it may look like. So in that regard, I think it is the fault of many writers. However, on this show, it was clear from the very beginning that our staff of writers did not know anything about the pulse of a black family, and that they were going to need all the help they could get, and that they would appreciate it for myself and the cast and the other writers and the director would help them along the way, assist them in putting things together. But on the other spectrum, you know, Stan Daniels has created a show, and also the executive producers are trying to create a show that involves a family, period. You know, everything that Rock goes through and that family, believe it, white America goes through also.
One of the things that I think makes Rock special is the quality of acting on the program. And two of the actors who are on the show, you had already worked with on stage in The Piano Lesson. And Rocky Carroll, who plays your brother, Carl Gordon, who plays your father. How are you able to bring them? I think a lot of actors would love to choose the actors who work with them on a series, but wouldn't ever be given the power to make that decision.
Well, you know, I had a few prerequisites before agreeing to do the show. And they were what I talked about initially, having some creative control and consultation about the style of the show. But secondly, and foremost, the casting. You know, I felt the initial response with the producers were to surround me with stand-up comics, and that's not to slight any stand-up comic, but I knew for the kind of show I saw in my head, you needed fresh, genuine stage actors to make it work. I asked for them, and I was very fortunate and thankful that that the producers agreed, you know, and nobody's sorry about it now.
You have a live show, a special live show coming up.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I'm a little worried about it. What's it going to be? Why are you doing it live?
Well, I think I say this, and this may sound a little heightened, but I say we're doing a live show because you have a cast that can do it. It started off on taking advantage of a stage trained cast to be able to pull it off. Of course, we're doing it without a doubt because it sweeps, February sweeps. It fits into the original concept of the show to be risky and daring and different. It's something that hasn't been done in a long time. I like to think of the show in the classic mode of comedies. So in the old Jackie Gleason tradition, when he was doing his show live, you know, in the early Gleason shows, you'll see a charged up atmosphere that's not necessarily what you see when we tape a show. Because needless to say, we stop and start and shoot over again and get this angle. You know, you'll see, you know, from top to the bottom, you know, it'll be live shots while we're preparing to go on in the dressing rooms, backstage. You'll see if people are nervous or if they're afraid, and you'll see them actually walk through that door and go on. And then the danger, of course, is if we screw up anything, we have to continue. You know, we have to keep on. So it's a challenge to everybody involved, the technical crew, Fox for taking the gamble, and for the actors who seem crazy enough to want to do this.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Charles Dutton, and he stars in the Fox series Rock, which is on every Sunday night. They've got a live show coming up this Sunday. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Actor Charles Dutton is my guest, the star of this series, Rock. You've had, as you know, a very extraordinary life. You spent several years in prison and went to reform school as a kid. And you once described it as a great place for an inner city kid to get to play in the country or something along those lines.
What
did you find to like about reform school?
Well, you know, growing up in the inner city of Baltimore, you know, you didn't get out as a kid. You didn't get out to sort of enjoy the outdoors, you know. You know, I grew up in a housing project. You know, occasionally you may go to summer camp if your folks could afford it, or if it was a free summer camp, you know, one week or 2 weeks in the summer. But when you went to reform school, you were, you know, in a rural area in the country where there were, you know, animals, livestock, and organized sports and three meals a day and two movies a week. And so to me, it was fun. To me, going to reform school was fun. Me and my buddies would actually organize our juvenile activities so that we went to court in early April or May just to spend 3 or 4 months in reform school.
It's like your version of summer camp.
It was a version of summer camp. It really was. And all your friends were there, you know. But what you don't realize as 11, 12, 13-year-old kid, that you're actually being conditioned at an early age to become a ward of the state. So that by the time you leave reform school, you're ready for the next level.
Prison.
You know, well, say if 13 or 14, there's always one more reform school stop, and that's 15 to 16-year reform school. But that's the middle one, and it gets tougher each time. But then you're ready for the next level because it's like the floodgates open, and your friends go to the next level, and then you go to the next level. And after that, you know, you're ready for the big leagues, and that is prison, you know.
Would you explain the story of how you got to prison?
Well, I went to reform school many times as a kid for numerous things. Started at 12 years old for truancy and juvenile delinquency and being ungovernable and incorrigible, all those nice little words they use to describe one's behavior. When I was 17, I killed a guy in a fight. He nearly killed me, and I wrestled the knife from him, and I killed him. See, I lived and he died. That was a long, long time ago, nearly 23, 24 years ago. I did 2 years for manslaughter, and I was released, and then I went right back to prison a couple months later for possession of deadly weapons. I was convicted and sentenced to 3 years in prison. And while doing the 3 years in prison, I got into a fight with a correctional officer in the prison and was sentenced to an additional 8 years sentence. So they structured the sentencing, whereas I had to do the 3 year sentence first and then start on the 8 year sentence. So, you know, during that time, after I went back to prison the second time, I was what I consider a total knucklehead. You know, I was anti-authority. I had no respect for authority. I was a radical militant. You know, I really believed that there was going to be an armed overthrow of the United States government, and I was willing to die for that. You know, I was in the Black Panther Party. I was in a, one of the toughest prisons in the country at that time.
This is in Maryland?
In Maryland, it's Maryland State Penitentiary. It ranked in the top five of the toughest prisons in the country at that time. I never considered myself a vicious person. I never considered myself a person who did anything premeditatedly. The incident of the manslaughter charge was a situation. I was 17 years old, and it was just at a party, and a fight broke out, and me and this guy had a nice fight going on, and he pulled a knife and stabbed me several times. I wrestled it away from him and stabbed him.
What was your identity in prison before you became known as the actor and the one who organized the theater group? Who were you before?
Well, I was a troublemaker. Yeah, yeah. I was on the prison administration's hit list. I was beat up, brutalized by the guards, prison guards, more than once in those 7.5 years that I spent. I had my ribs broken, my nose broke, an ankle cracked, 2 fingers broke. I had my head bust 6-7 different times in prison. I had my teeth knocked out. I had my eye lacerated with 22 stitches across my eyebrow.
This is all by guards?
Over the course of time. All by prison guards, yeah. I got in a lot of fights in prison, too, with inmates. But once I became politically conscious, the inmate against inmate fighting stopped for me, at least. When I was in my, street stage, mentally, I got in fights with other inmates. But when I started to read in prison, admittedly, I was reading strictly leftist literature, Mao Zedong, Marx and Engels, Lenin. It was through the reading of politics and societies and capitalism and socialism and what makes the world tick, you know, in economically, you know, that I began to understand what my condition was and what these people around me conditions were. And so inadvertently, I began to discover my own humanity by being a radical.
Let me ask you how you got from reading mostly leftist literature to reading plays and getting interested in performing.
Well, in 1972, a girlfriend sent me an anthology of black playwrights. At the time, I had no intention. I thought this decadent, capitalistic cultural exercise, I want nothing to do with it. And the book sat on my shelf in my prison for 4 or 5 months. And finally, I got in a little trouble in prison with a guard, and I was sentenced to 6 days in isolation, which is a little room with no light, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You were allowed one book to take. And I just reached back and grabbed the book, and I happened to pick that one up, and I read the book from cover to cover by the light that seeped under the door of the room, and it was a light shining in the hallway, and I just would lay down on my stomach at the door, and from the crack of the door light, and turn the pages of the book, and got a little light to read from. And I was struck by one play that was so hilarious, a satire, a political satire called Day of Absence by Douglas Turner Ward. After reading this play, I had determined that when I got out of isolation, I was going to get the funniest characters in the prison that I knew and get these guys together and form a drama group. And we would put this particular play on at the prison talent show. And I got out of isolation on the 6th day, and I showed this play to a couple of guys. A couple of guys couldn't read, so I told them what the play was about. And the prison talent show came along. And it was a school teacher in the prison who was a local actress, a lady by the name of Diane Weaver. And so Mrs. Weaver, she supervised the group, and we started this drama group, and it changed my life.
Did that change your attitude about prison? Did you start really wanting to get out when you realized that there was something you really wanted to do?
Oh, it sure did. It sure did. And from that point on, I had stopped trying to find out how much time I could do and started trying to find out how much time I didn't have to do. And so I went, you know, I quit school in the seventh grade as a kid. So from that point, I went back and I went to the prison school and got my high school equivalency degree. Then I enrolled in the prison college program and got my 2-year college degree while in prison, an associate's arts degree.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worried about ending up back in prison, or do you think that that's just out of the question?
Well, I mean, I don't plan to do anything to get me back there. There is nothing that anyone can tell me about prison anymore. I have a PhD in prison life, you know. So there's no reason for me to go back. I don't hang out in the same circles. I'm not in the same company of guys who go in and out. I still have lots of friends who are in prison. They'll be my friends for as long as I'm on this planet. Guys on the street corners in Baltimore, you know, guys who are still using drugs, selling drugs, shooting drugs, and those people will always be my friends, you know. I'm hoping and praying that the ones who are involved in the negative things will eventually retire from it and see their lives in a different light and say, okay, I've had enough, you know. But if they don't, I can't be the one to judge.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Well,
I'd like to thank you, Terry. You're welcome.
And good luck with the live show on Sunday.
Thank you. We're going to need it. Okay. Thank you.
Charles Dutton is the star of the Fox comedy series Rock. This Sunday night, Rock will be broadcast live. You can also see Dutton in the new movie Mississippi Masala and in the forthcoming film Aliens 3. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.